Nelson Mandela died today. Oh. You never read his biography or anything? The Long Walk to Freedom?
No, I did. Oh my God, I did not.
Oh, mate. This dude became a lawyer, all right? Now, if you're black and you're in South Africa in apartheid, becoming a lawyer is like impossible. And so after he becomes qualified, of course, he becomes a member of the African National Congress, the ANC, and goes about trying to get apartheid, which is, the racist regime of the South African government, get rid of. And of course, like everybody who tries to get rid of tyranny, it doesn't freaking work. So they resorted to terrorism, blowing up power pylons and stuff like that. That didn't work. So they resorted to blowing up people, you know, with like bombs and trash baskets and stuff like that. That didn't work. So they're like, okay, let's have big, massive demonstrations of people. And they all got shot in the back. That didn't work. Running away. You know, fighting for your freedom is a real pain in the ass, man. And on top of that, he spent 20 years on Robben Island, like South Africa's worst, like notorious. It's like the Alcatraz of South Africa, right? Spent like 20 years there or something. And my brother was a really good waiter back in the day, and he got to actually serve Nelson Mandela, but they had some problems in the kitchen. And he said to him, "Oh, Mr. Mandela, I'm sorry, your food and what have you is coming soon. Would you like some more bread and water while you wait?" And Mr. Mandela looks at him and he says, "After 20 years of Robben Island, I think I've had enough of bread and water." Oh, yeah. A clever man, a great man, and here's the positive part of the story. A lot of people don't recognize, and this is something I think this is a big lesson for all truthers. Is the resolution? Okay, they didn't take over South Africa. The blacks didn't take over South Africa, take it back from the white man because they fought and died and so on and so forth. Yes, they did, but at the end of it, that wasn't the deciding factor. What was? Reconciliation. You know, the reason why the whites were so desperately clinging to power is because they believed that if they gave power back to the blacks, that they would wind up getting reprisals, right? Homes burned down, women and children dragged into the street and raped. This was a reality back then. This was what people were talking about and very afraid of. Oh my God, what if the blacks had power? And so Nelson Mandela and a number of other black leaders said to these guys, "Look, I'll tell you what. You're not going to beat us, okay? There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of you. However, we're not going to use that as an excuse to just roll over on you, okay, and just to destroy you and get revenge and what have you for the decades and decades of institutionalized racism where you beat the living hell out of all of our people and shoot us in the back while we're running away and enslave us and so on and so forth and force us to live in slums and whatnot, okay? We're not going to get any revenge for you on there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the reins of power and you're going to be treated just like every other citizen with respect, and your property is going to be respected, your person is going to be respected, and you're not going to get any of it damaged, taken away, or raped, okay? That's it. That's our deal. You either give us power and get to maintain your, you know, security, well, you don't give us power, and it's going to wind up turning into a war, the blacks versus whites, and the blacks will win because we've got more people, okay? So that's how you resolve a situation, I think, peacefully. And this is a lesson, I believe, that should apply to the Rothschild banking cartel, the Rockefeller family, and various other world power brokers, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, George H.W. Bush, John Key, all of these really disgusting, horrific racist, violent, murdering scumbags. Just tell them, look, there's more of us than there are of you. And even though you've been trepidation of like 100 years of theft and rape and murder of the people, both literal and figurative, we're going to let you be safe in your persons, safe in your property. You can go back and retire to your frickin' mansions. Just give us back the power that is rightfully ours. Or it's going to turn into a war. And we don't want a war. You don't want a war, because neither of us will probably survive it. Or, even if we do survive it, we'll have nothing that's survived along with us. No houses, no electricity, no running water, no nothing. It'll be a frickin' dark age. Do you want that? I don't. And I think, don't you think that's a brilliant idea, Suzanne? If the elite just kind of, you know, went belly up to a degree and just gave us the frickin' power that was rightfully owed?
You know, it's funny.
The Mandela Method.
What's funny to me is that the alternative movement has taken a drastic turn. Instead of using our power, our personal power, the power in numbers, the power of agreeing that we all agree that there are certain common enemies that we all have. We all have Monsanto as a common enemy. We all have our governmental leaders as a common enemy. We all have the banks as a common enemy. We are talking about a grandiose show of force instead of using our leverage, which is the fact that we outnumber them. Globally and individually in each sovereign nation, we outnumber the ones who are controlling us. And we sat down to a table and said, hey, exactly what they did. Would we have the ability to then get our sovereignty back without any bloodshed? I know that that idea is not popular nowadays in the alternative movement, but I think it's one that we seriously need to consider. Because it doesn't have to be bloodshed. We're not going to win. It's all going to be destroyed, and we don't want to die that way.